Chapter 40. Reed, I called the bridge where our chief pilot was the duty officer. Halt the jump countdown. We are changing plans. I didn't need to say again. That was implied. Halt the jump, aye, sir. Should we program a new course? As I was about to reply, Sims caught my eye, so I just said, Hold on that, Reed. I'll let you know. Lifting my finger off the intercom button, I turned to Sims. XO?
Sir, if we're not going to Earth, someone should. There could be a mess, or at least a significant security threat.
Yeah, good point. What do you suggest?
Chatterjee should send the fleet.
All of it. Every ship he has?
Jaguar base is safe unless our enemies have figured out the schedule for that wormhole. The ships at Jaguar might be needed at Earth to assist recovery efforts if Roscoe impacts the surface and to protect our homeworld now that we no longer have a Sentinel in orbit. Skippy's math predicted it would take 23 hours for the first broken pieces of Roscoe to hit the atmosphere, so the UN Navy should have time to nudge the largest sections into a stable orbit, or to break large pieces into smaller, more manageable chunks. Although it would take sustained, intense weapons fire to cut into the tough, exotic material of a Sentinel. The loss of Roscoe could make an adventurous species think this is a good time for payback. We have made a lot of enemies.
Shit.
A flight back to Jaguar base right then was the last thing I wanted, as we were already halfway to Earth.
Skippy, show me a star map with Earth, Jaguar, the Flying Dutchman, and the closest UN Navy ships.
A hologram appeared near the ceiling of my office.
Now add our flight times to those locations.
Studying the map for a moment, I pressed the intercom again.
Reed, program a course for Paradise and punch it ASAP.
She caught herself.
Set a course for Paradise, aye, sir.
Can I ask why we're going there?
Sims raised an eyebrow. A Navy task force is there on a show the flag mission. The task force has two star carriers, plus the destroyer Boston, with the Mavericks.
Ah, I do pay attention to the Navy status reports, XO.
She blushed. I remembered an operational detail she had forgotten about. One point to Bishop.
We can reach Paradise within 18 hours from here. I pointed to the color-coded holographic star chart.
That is minimal delay to a rendezvous with the Dutchman. I'll send Perkins straight to Earth with Boston and a carrier. The other carrier will go back to Jaguar, inform Chatterjee of the situation, and advise that he reinforce the security contingent at Earth.
She nodded.
Is there any reason you want Perkins to bring the message to Earth?
Yeah. She's even better at lying than I am.
When we arrived at Paradise, the destroyer Boston was attached to a star carrier in orbit, along with two UN Navy frigates. It brought a tear to my eye to see the insignia painted on the star carrier's nose. CV-71 UNS, Fall Desai. That carrier was formerly the Jarapta Free Trader's ship Sure Thing, recently sold to the UN by the previous owners. Captain Gumbano and his crew had dodged creditors and the authorities as long as they could, until they were forced to sell their ship and apply to the Torgala for asylum. They weren't fooling anyone. The former crew of the Sure Thing would be back to their old tricks as soon as they could beg, borrow, or steal another ship. But that wasn't my problem. What mattered to me was our Navy had acquired a star carrier suited to small-scale special operations, and Desai could easily reach Earth from Paradise. Perkins and Bonsu were asleep, it being nighttime in the capital city of the planet. I spoke to Irene Strebick, in command of the Desai, and she dispatched a frigate out to the other star carrier that was acting as a guard force 2 light weeks away. She then called her husband, who called Perkins, and the two of them boarded a dropship that took off within 10 minutes of receiving the alert. That was quick. The Mavericks were still on top of their game. To avoid delays, I flew over to Boston and was there to greet Bonsu and Perkins when they walked down the ramp.
General, Bonsu saluted me. A gesture that felt odd to both of us since we were aboard his ship. Unless you need me, I'll prep the ship for departure.
May I ask where we're going?
You are going to Earth. Valkyrie won't be with you. We have other business.
He knew not to ask, and based on history, he knew he probably didn't want to know.
Perkins?
I nodded back over my shoulder to a pilot-ready room that had been set aside for our use. She followed me, and after closing the door, I began with, First, congratulations on your promotion. During our brief stay at Jaguar Base, Chatterjee had told me Perkins was on the list for promotion to Brigadier General, a move that, in my opinion, was long overdue.
Thank you, sir,
she replied with a tight smile.
I had considered taking retirement.
What? That shocked me. Why?
This isolationist policy is undoing everything we accomplished out here. It's great that you brought a sentinel to Earth, but it has encouraged weak politicians to follow their worst instincts. We busted our asses out here. We lost good people. Her jaw clamped with anger. Now that we have that machine protecting Earth, the UN thinks nothing we did matters.
Yeah, about that.
I told her the cover story, while her face went white with shock. The story we'd cooked up aboard Valkyrie was that a hostile Elder AI had attempted to take control of Roscoe, so our pet Sentinel almost certainly had self-destructed, and pieces might fall to smack into Earth. That Skippy had killed that AI and eliminated the threat. And that we would be bringing a brand new Sentinel to replace Roscoe at some point in the future. Hopefully. That last part was bullshit, but our enemies would think twice about attacking Earth if they thought we would soon have another Elder killing machine. Do you have any questions? I asked as she took a sip of water. The color had returned to her face, but she was still clearly shaken. Just one, sir. Setting the water glass on the table, she looked me straight in the eye. How much of that bullshit you just told me is true?
Enough, I shrugged.
Roscoe very likely is disabled and has fallen toward our homeworld. As far as you're concerned, Colonel, all of it is true. I got that, sir. Don't worry, I'll sell the story to Command. I know you will. Perkins, I'm sorry to dump this on you. It's okay, sir. Better me than some other officer. This other mission you're working, do you have any idea how long it will take?
That question surprised me.
Not exactly. Why?
She looked away.
OMG, she was embarrassed about something.
I don't need to know, I added. It's none of my...
It is your business, sir. She held up a hand, her left hand. There was a ring on a particular finger. Dave. She paused to take another sip of water. Dave and I want to get married. I know. Congrats. Dave wants to get married soon. We've been putting it off and...
Her voice trailed away. Dave wants to get married soon? I emphasized her fiancé's name.
We do. We both do.
She brushed hair out of her eyes.
I never thought I would get married. Didn't expect I'd ever want to.
I looked away as her eyes were brimming with tears.
Dave is a good man. And a lucky one. Thank you.
She laughed.
Makes me feel young again.
You are young.
It's not the years, it's the mileage.
Yeah, I hear that.
The reason I asked is we want you to be at the wedding. Shauna and Jesse have been waiting for us, though Dave told Jesse he didn't have to wait.
I can see that. Emily. I used her first name since we were having a personal conversation, and we had history and just... Fuck protocol, you know?
I'll be back at Earth as soon as I can.
You haven't set a date?
We haven't been able to. My suggestion was to have a small ceremony on base, but Dave wants our families to be there, especially his parents.
What about Cornpone? I mean, Jesse. She snorted.
He wants whatever Shauna wants. He just wants her. She wants to get married in the backyard of her grandparents' farm if they can arrange it.
I'll do what I can to get this over with quickly.
Don't jeopardize the mission.
With a shrug, I told her. It shouldn't take long. It was true that the crisis would be over soon one way or the other, so I wasn't lying. It would have been nice to meet with Dave, Jesse, Shauna, and Nert, but I just didn't have time. They were on the southern continent of Lemuria. It would have taken too long to fly down and back. Rather than an awkward video call, I intended to send text messages to all four of them while in the dropship on the way back to Valkyrie. With Chen pushing the dropship at 4Gs all the way and Valkyrie breaking orbit as soon as the craft was secure in its cradle, I had to settle for recording brief voice messages and hitting send just before our battlecruiser jumped away. Skippy called me as I was walking to the bridge.
Hey, Joe, I overheard your conversation with Colonel Perkins about her and Dave getting married. May I ask you a question?
That was a private conversation.
I'm not going to ask about what you discussed, just why.
Why?
I was confused.
Why not?
You encouraged Perkins to talk, even though you know there is never going to be a wedding. Despite all the valiant efforts of the Merry Band of Pirates, we aren't going to win this fight. We can't win. The deck is stacked against us.
We gotta try, Skippy.
Before we flew to where Skippy expected to find Trips and its ship, we hooked up with the Flying Dutchman. Chang, or actually Nagatha, had sent a report about their successful operation to eliminate Sam. Technically, they got the Rindaloo to do the dirty work, and we already knew about that from messages the spiders sent to their clients. The spiders were eager for the entire galaxy to know their coalition no longer needed to fear interference from yet another Elder AI. That the enemy coalition could no longer hope an Elder AI would magically elevate the Maxalt's hegemony to supreme power. And that the Rindaloo had removed the threat of the AI known as Sam, while humans had done nothing about it. I'd have had bad news for them about that if I was allowed to say anything. Instead, Sims and I had a good laugh while we read the official communique from the Rindaloo communal gathering. It sucked that we couldn't tell the smug spiders that they had been expertly played, and I'm sure Scorandum was feeling even worse about the need for secrecy. By the way, I know the official name for their society, the Communal Gathering, is supposed to convey harmony and their desire for a peaceful coexistence with every being in the galaxy. But given that the spiders were the most technologically advanced and most powerful military force in the galaxy, that name made it sound like they were a bunch of aging hippies wearing faded tie-dyed shirts with Fight the Power logos while they flew helicopters to their yachts. And don't get me started about the Maxalts. They referred to their society as the Hegemony, which they intended to convey that they held power over other species by means of their superior technology and economic might, rather than pure military dominance. To the Rotten Kiddies, it was natural that the other species and their coalition should follow their leadership, as it was evident the Kiddies were destined to rule by their obvious superiority. The smugness only made all of their clients even more eager to strangle them. I guess Communal Gathering is at least better than Hegemony, so the spiders have that going for them. Anyway, the message that we got from Nagatha that we picked up from an Ejacu's relay station contained a list of timed rendezvous sites. Bilby crunched the math for a least time course, and we popped out a jump less than 4 minutes before Chang planned to move on to the next location. "What's up, Joe?" Chang asked, speaking more casually than usual as we were both in our offices. "First, congrats to you and your crew on taking care of, you know, problems." He shrugged. The Dutchman was only acting as a tour bus. It was Scorandum's plan. Our AI did the actual work. You know that Skippy missed a step in the process and Nagatha had to improvise. I did not know that. He cocked his head. That detail was in our message. It was in the message you sent. It was not in the message Skippy gave me. He conveniently left out that part. Chang shook his head, knowing there wasn't much either of us could do about Skippy's clumsy attempt to conceal the truth. "You know it now." "I do. Hey, we're in a bit of a time crunch. I need you to come with us." A grimace flashed across his face. "My XO is a bit green, so you..." "I meant I need the Dutchman and your crew, not just you." "Ah," he nodded, relieved. "Another undercover mission?" "Not this time. I need the Dutchman's trash-hauling ability, not stealth." In the military, a transport aircraft is called a trash hauler to distinguish from combat aircraft. It was a mild insult, but he knew I didn't mean any offense by using the term. He pursed his lips, considering the notion. "We'll need to have hardpoints reinstalled. Skippy has been fabricating the components. They will be ready when needed." "The Navy has dedicated star carriers. So what are we doing that is so sketchy you need to recruit the Dutchman?" "We need to move an object from point A to point B." "An object?" "An Elder Starship." His eyes bulged. "Holy shit, Joe." "Yeah." "Damn. Every time I tell myself you can't surprise me anymore, you do it again. Is this a dead ship?" "Hopefully this one is flightworthy. It's semi-dormant right now. We need to move it before it boots up. I'll explain later." "Is it safe for us to approach an Elder Starship?" "It could be hostile. Like I said, this one is very likely dormant. Something like that." "What if it is hostile?" With a shrug, I told him, "We recently got jumped by an Elder ship that was definitely hostile, and Skippy killed it."
"He did?"
"I know. It was close, but Skippy demonstrated his awesomeness again." Covering his face with a hand for a moment, he shook his head. "Joe, you haven't been gone from Earth for that long. What the hell kind of trouble have you gotten into this time?" "Take every problem we've ever faced.
add them together, and multiply by, like, infinity. Oh, my. The blood drained from his face. Yeah. At this time, we're playing for the lives of everyone in the galaxy. Come over here and I'll read you in. You trust your XO with simple flight maneuvers? She's good, just not experienced. We're not going into combat anytime soon? I sure hope not. Can I bring our guest with me? I grinned. Why? Isn't having a beetle aboard a totally delightful experience? He grimaced. It is so delightful, I want to share the joy with others. Gotcha. Don't worry, we'll keep him aboard Valkyrie for a while. Chang and I talked for a while, mostly him assuring me that Opie sending a distress call was not my fault. To my surprise, I agreed. Mostly. Shit happens. I took a risk, needing to know what Opie knew, what it had been doing. We now had that information. The cost was just too high. Knowing only what I knew at the time, I think I made the right call. Part of me wondered whether Opie had been analyzing us for years, manipulating us to lure us into taking it through a wormhole. That notion bothered me. Not that there was anything I could do about it. Chang didn't have any advice about how to stop the Elders other than to agree we needed to let Skippy run the show. He believes he can get this Elder ship to pair with him? He doesn't see why it shouldn't be possible. The plan is to jump this ship into a place like the Roach Motel? Basically, yeah. Joe, the Dutchman can give this new ship a ride, but I don't see what else we can do. That will be enough. Thank you. I found Scarandum in a conference room by himself. The bottle of Bergoge on the table contained only a small amount of the sickly, sweet, fiery liquid, yet he didn't seem to be impaired. Apparently, he hadn't consumed much of it. That doesn't look like enough for a decent drink, I said as I watched him tip a bottle of Bergoge vertically, draining the last drops into a glass. It's not. But as I don't know when I will get another bottle, I have to make the ones I have last for later, he sighed. Although, he snorted, as there might not be a later for me, I might as well drink it all now. Seeing the Giraptha captain trying to get the last drops out of the bottle, a memory was tickling the back of my mind. Wait here, please. I'll be right back. He looked around the conference room. It's not like I have any pressing engagements, he frowned as he sat back on the couch. A few minutes later, I was back, with the bottle of bogus Bergoge that Sergeant Gostovsky had tried to sell to me. This might amuse you. Don't drink it, I warned him. I don't actually know what's in it. He examined the label. A mid-grade brand. Nothing special. Kind of obscure, actually. I'm surprised any humans know about this. Where did you get it? A guy I know. A human, I clarified. He got it from someone at Jaguar Base. Interesting. Why would anyone there want it? He sat up straight on the couch. Are any of my people there? No. My guess is one of my people found or was given an empty bottle. They tried to replicate the formula and pass it off as genuine. General Bishop, the underhanded perfidy of your people never ceases to amaze me, he scowled at me. Hey, it wasn't my I am impressed. He turned the bottle over in his claw. This shows initiative. Most encouraging. Yeah, well, you haven't smelled it yet. It's not a very good imitation. He cracked open the cap, holding it at arm's length, taking a quick sniff. His antennas stood up rigidly. Sorry, I shrugged, regretting I had even kept the bottle as a curiosity. Even I could tell something was off about. He put the bottle directly under his nostrils and inhaled deeply, his little scent antennas wriggling excitedly. Yeah, that was not creepy at all. This, he closed his eyes, the big antennas on his head twitching. This is amazing. It is. He tipped the bottle back and drank from it before I could stop him. General, he gasped. This is a true revelation. Maybe you shouldn't swallow that. I don't know what... My warning wasn't heard. The glass with a tiny amount of actual Bergoge was pushed away, and he grabbed an empty glass from the side table, pouring a generous amount of what was definitely not Bergoge into it. He shivered all over as he sipped the amber liquid. General Bishop. Ha ha! He winked at me.
or his antennas performed the Giraptha equivalent of a wink.
You played a trick on me.
Good one. I do not know where you obtained this, what I believe to be the finest example of vintage Bergoge I have ever tasted. If this is your way of thanking me for manipulating the Rindaloo into taking care of Sam for us, then you are most welcome. I had no idea what to say.
You like it? Really?
I love it! Oh!
His claws clacked together in a gesture like the way a human would snap fingers.
If you somehow happen to have another bottle like this, I might have a way to persuade my superiors to let me go home. Quietly, of course.
Of course.
You do have another bottle?
More than one, actually. I remembered seeing four other bottles in the box that Gastowski showed me.
All right, then. He winked at me again. Keep your secrets.
I muttered something unintelligible while my mind raced. Sergeant Gastowski and his sketchy distiller at Jaguar Base could become very wealthy if they could get a steady supply of Pine Sol. And if, you know, we all lived that long.
I let him drink a good part of the bottle while watching the clock on my phone. Right on time, the ship jumped, and a minute later, Sims pinged me.
Sir, they're here.
What Sims meant is we had arranged a rendezvous with a smuggler starship that belonged to a Giraptha criminal syndicate, one the ECO had done business with in the past. In particular, Scarandum had worked with that syndicate, and they still owed him a favor. A big favor that he hadn't wanted to talk about. Anyway, he suggested I contact that group when it was time for him to leave us.
What are your plans? I asked as I carried one of his bags up the ramp of the dropship.
I'm going to relax, he told me. Lay low for a while.
Right. He didn't seem like the kind of guy who would be happy sitting on a beach.
Just whatever you do, try not to get into too much trouble, okay?
I'll try to remember that.
General Bishop, he lowered his voice. I don't know what is bothering you, but something certainly is. Would this be a good time for me to make long-term plans?
If you have been saving a particularly fine bottle of Bergoge, this might be a good time to drink it.
That bad?
You didn't hear it from me.
Stepping back, I saluted.
Good luck to you, Captain.
He returned the gesture.
Good luck to you, General. I have the feeling that if you don't have good luck in whatever you're doing next, it will be bad for everyone.